Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. May the Spirit of God, who authored these words, bless them to our hearts with understanding, and to God be the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Bow with me in prayer, please. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You have just heard some of the strongest language that the Apostle Paul ever used in any of his epistles. Here, the great apostle declares that any other message than the one he has preached is intolerable. And furthermore, he consigns anyone who preaches such a message, even angels from heaven, to damnation. Can belief be this important? Does it make that much difference what a man believes? Or is the Apostle Paul not manifesting an inordinate preoccupation with dogma? After all, Christianity is a way of life. Love is the crowning expression of authentic Christianity. Love is the capstone of Christian character. Why so much fuss about dogma, anyhow? Why let dogma be an issue at all? Why not, for example, take this rather familiar American attitude, it doesn't make any difference what a man believes, just so he's sincere. As a preface to our series on what we as Presbyterians believe, based upon the short statement of the Reformed faith, which you find in the front of our hymn books, I want to suggest this morning four reasons why belief is important, why it is as important as is indicated by these strong words from the Apostle Paul. In the first place, belief is important because belief is inevitable. Belief is inescapable. It is humanly impossible not to have a creed. The minute a man says it doesn't make any difference what a man believes, this is his credo. His credo is belief doesn't make any difference. The atheist has a creed. He believes in no God. And it is much more difficult to believe in no God than to believe in God, because all of the evidence is to the contrary. And incidentally, it's only the fact of God that gives atheism respectability. Nobody would take seriously a man who tried to disprove something that wasn't. The agnostic has a creed. He believes one can never know the truth. There is a group which insists, we have no creed but the Bible. And this is rather tricky until you think it through. The moment a man says, I have no creed but the Bible, he has a creed other than the Bible. His creed is no creed but the Bible. But it's even trickier than that. Because actually, every time he preaches or talks to you, he's going to tell you what he believes the Bible teaches, and he's declaring his creed again and again and again. And the minute you pin him down to a doctrine, he says, I have no creed but the Bible. Some of you heard one of our own young men, Don Grady, as he was ordained last Wednesday evening here in the sanctuary. And you will recall that one of the questions put to him by the moderator was this. Do you believe that the system of doctrine which is taught in the Westminster Confession of Faith and the longer and shorter catechisms is that system of doctrine which is taught in the Scriptures? And he had to answer, I do so believe. If he could not say, I do so believe to that, he could not be ordained. And what we find in the Westminster Confession of Faith and the longer and shorter catechisms, which is distilled for us in this brief statement of faith in the hymnal, is simply our written statement systematized of what we believe the Bible teaches. And when any part of that confession of faith does not agree with the Word of God, then that part of the confession of faith must be removed, because the Bible is our creed. Having a creed is inescapable even for the one who takes the extreme position and who demands that everyone should trust everybody, no matter what anybody believes. Tolerance, it's known as, and we've just about tolerated ourselves out of existence. Let's be very careful that we're not tolerant just because we don't believe anything, so we have anything to lose. But even the man who practices tolerance has a creed. His creed is anything goes. His creed is it doesn't make any difference. His creed is truth is no better than a lie. Anything goes, that is, except conviction. It has always been interesting to me that those who are most articulate and most vocal about being tolerant are the least tolerant, most intolerant of the man who has any convictions whatsoever. Now, one cannot escape credo. Either he believes in anything or nothing or something, or he believes in no belief. Furthermore, if there is such a thing as truth, whatever contradicts or opposes it is error. And any rational man knows that it is impossible to hold truth and error at the same time. And if you do not believe anything, or you believe anything, and you believe that anything is all right, then what you are saying is there is no such a thing as truth in the final analysis. Belief is inevitable. You've got to believe something, even if it's nothing. The second reason why belief is important is because man becomes what he believes. Belief predetermines character. So often you have probably heard me quote one of my favorite verses, one of my favorite because it's one of those fundamental verses, those basic verses into which is built a whole fundamental principle of life, Jeremiah 2:5. There the prophet speaking in the name of the Lord says, Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have you fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and have become vain. God says through his prophet, You have forsaken me, you have walked after vanity, you are become vain. Man is incurably religious. He must have a God. If he will not have the true God, he will of necessity find some false God to follow, even if that God is himself, which is so often the case. And man becomes like his God. Following after vanity, they became vain. Following after bubbles, they became a bubble. Following after idols, they became like their idol. Following after hollow gods, they became hollow souls. And the one whose God is no God becomes nothing, which is exactly what a communist is, nothing. except a vegetable to be used by communism. Man is nothing when God is nothing. This marvelous passage in the 135th Psalm, beginning at the 15th verse, where the psalmist declares, "The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Ears have they, but they hear not. Eyes have they, but they see not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths." And here's the key. "They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them." You become like your God. You cannot escape this. If we should reduce the world problem to its irreducible core, it is one of belief. Some of you will remember the familiar words of General of the Army Douglas MacArthur as he stood on the battleship Missouri, the signing of the truce with Japan. He said, "This is not a military matter. This is not an economic matter. This is not a political matter. This is a theological matter. This is a matter of belief. And if we're going to save the flesh, we must save the spirit." Why would General of the Army Douglas MacArthur say that? Because he knew that Pearl Harbor happened because the Japanese believed something and were thoroughly committed to that belief. The war in the Pacific was the product of a belief. And then there are some intelligent Americans who say it doesn't make any difference what a man believes. What nonsense that is. After the First World War, there came out of the German army a young Prussian who had been a corporal. He was a neurotic. He began to read Nietzsche and became infected with the doctrine of Nietzsche, with nihilism and the superman and the super race. And it was that belief that became the scourge of Germany and the scourge of Europe and almost the scourge of the world and precipitated the Second World War. And there are people in this congregation and listening to the radio this morning who have sons or brothers or fathers or husbands who laid down their lives in the Second World War or in the Pacific because the Japanese and the Germans believed something. Men have died because of wrong belief. And then you understand why it is almost nauseating to hear Americans say it doesn't make any difference what a man believes, just so he's sincere. What kind of trash is that in the name of intellectualism? And the communists believe something. They believe it with their whole heart. They believe it so much that they give their lives and half of their money to it. How much do you give for your faith to propagate it? They count themselves dead men on furlough for the sake of their faith. Is it any wonder they're winning the world? They will die for their faith. We won't even live for ours. They'll give at least 50% of all their possessions for the propagation of their faith. We give 64 cents a week. That's the average over the United States. Is it any wonder? They're winning. They colonize and call it liberation. We liberate and they call it imperialism. We must not touch Cuba. They can do anything they want in the Congo. It's almost impossible for us to believe that there is such a fact alive in the world today, but it's there, and that's the belief. They believe in no God. Therefore, there is no morality. No truth, no wrong, no error. Peace is war. Slavery is freedom. A lie is the truth. Chaos is order. And we need to understand that the communists are not people who believe the same as we do, but are simply misbehaving. They are people who believe very differently than we believe, and they are utterly dedicated to their faith. man becomes like his credo. He is fashioned inexorably after the image of the God he worships. His character is cast in the mold of his idol. Therefore, belief is important. And belief is important in the third place because ethics and morality are rooted in biblical tradition. The morality of the Bible flows out of the doctrines of the Bible. You will recall the words of Dr. Whitaker last Sunday morning, who told about the university professor, the physicist, who came to three conclusions. First of all, there is no salvation in science. Secondly, we need a moral awakening. And thirdly, we cannot have a moral awakening without faith in a living religion. Did that sink in? We need a moral awakening, but we cannot have it without faith in a living religion. The greatest living historian and one of the greatest of all time, Arnold J. Toynbee, has said this: the political and social practices of our civilization derive from their Christian content, and they will not long survive unless they are replenished by that faith. Listen, practice unsupported by belief is a wasting asset. George Washington said, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. The late John Foster Dulles said, the terrible things that are happening in some parts of the world today are due to the fact that political and social practices have been separated from spiritual content. You cannot keep morality and ethics alive without the holy religion of the book. We wonder why the moral level of our Western world, of our United States, is sinking, 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 sinking. We try to plug all the holes. We try to shore it up, but it keeps sinking, sinking, sinking. Juvenile delinquency, crime, divorce, alcoholism, adultery, all of these things, down, 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 it sinks, and we can't stop it. Why? Because we will not come back to the God in whom our fathers believed, and the faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is the strength, which is the substance, which is, if you'll forgive the language, the guts of morality. And you cannot keep our morality alive any more than you can keep this plant alive, these flowers alive, very long. They're beautiful now. And tonight they'll be taken, or tomorrow morning, to the home of a shut-in or someone ill in the hospital. And they'll grace that hospital room or that room for a short time. But ultimately, those flowers, beautiful as they are and fragrant as they are doomed to the ash can because they have been snipped from their roots. They're dead. And morality is alive only when it is rooted and grounded into the Judeo-Christian tradition, the Old and New Testament faith in the God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you'll never have moral stamina as an individual until Jesus Christ becomes your Lord and your God. Truth is in order to goodness. For this reason, the Apostle Paul always dealt with the doctrine first and the ethics second in his epistles. Moral purity is the fruit of which right belief is the root. Therefore, belief is important. And finally, belief is important because it is God's solution to man's dilemma. We will be speaking about this in a couple of Sundays when we discuss Revelation. But will you notice the words of the Apostle Paul? I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The reason the Apostle Paul was concerned that no other message be preached was because this was God's message, this was God's answer, this was God's solution. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, what? Say it. What? Believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the condemnation. Or rather, he that believeth in him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already because he does not believe. You may not like it, but there it stands, the word of God. He that does not believe is already condemned. And in the end of the third chapter of John's Gospel, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that does not believe on the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Do you hear this word? Do you hear this word? He that believeth on the Son of God hath life. He that believeth not the Son of God does not have life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You do not believe on the Son of God this morning. You can wiggle and squirm and duck and run and ignore it and try to forget it. But dear friend, if you do not believe on the Son of God, you are spiritually lifeless, and the wrath of God abides upon you. Belief is important because you cannot escape a creed. You have a creed of some kind. Every one of you does. Belief is important because your character is cast irrevocably and inexorably in the mold of your belief. Belief is important because out of right belief flows the ethics and morals which mean so much to the life of our civilization and culture. Belief is important because there is salvation in no other belief than that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this we make no apology whatsoever. You will remember the Lord Jesus Christ on one wonderful occasion speaking to the Pharisees, recorded in John chapter 8, when he said unto them, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." God forgive us for taking our freedom for granted. It was the truth that made us free. And if we will not obey the truth, we repudiate our freedom. And this is true individually as well as collectively. If you do not obey the truth this morning, you are a slave. You may not know it, because that's the way the slavery works. It doesn't let you know you're a slave until it's too late and the bands can no longer be broken, except by the power of God in Jesus Christ. It is only the truth that can free. And apart from the truth, freedom is a sheer illusion. Of course, belief is important. Your very life depends upon it. Let us pray. Father in heaven, help those who have heard this message this morning to examine their beliefs. Help them to scuttle this ridiculous, irrational, nonsensical idea that it doesn't make any difference what a man believes. Help them to see, Lord, that this is the thing that's destroying our world today. And then help them to recognize the belief of their fathers, the belief that many of them have wandered away from in adulthood, the simple faith in Jesus Christ that they once held and from which they've departed now that they're sophisticated and intellectual. And help them see, Lord, how unintellectual is this view that belief doesn't make any difference. Help them to see, Lord, especially the young people in this congregation, that their lives are being molded after the manner of their belief, that they're going to become tomorrow what they believe today. that the kind of a man or woman they meet down the road ahead depends upon what they believe today as young people. And especially help us all to see, Lord, that the eternal destiny of our souls depends on what we believe. And not to believe in the Son of God is to have the wrath of God abiding upon us and to be dead spiritually. And then help us this morning in the quiet of this closing moment to come to the Lord Jesus, asking His forgiveness, giving Him our minds and our hearts and our wills, that He might restore unto us the joy of our salvation, that He might give us back the strength that is in Him alone, that we might be liberated from all of the tyrants that enslave us, worst of all, the tyrant of self, that we might walk and live as sons and daughters of the living God and the King of Kings and the Lord of history and eternity. Oh Lord, I pray for every person sitting here this morning and beside a radio that Thou wilt awaken them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. Thank Thee for the wonderful word. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. O Lord, may many hearts say this morning, Lord Jesus, I do believe. I do receive Thee as my Savior. I do crown Thee as my Lord. Lord, I believe. For Jesus' sake, we ask this. Amen.